ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो थर्ड चैप्टर 31 वर्स 28। इति एवं शाश्वसंभुक्त इति एवं शाश्वसंभुक्त दुःखं पौगंडम एव च दुःखं पौगंडम एव च अलब्धभीप्सितो ज्ञानाद् अलब्धभीप्सितो ज्ञानाद् इदा मन्योषु चार्पितः इदा मन्योषु चार्पितः इति एवं शाश्वसं भुक्त्वा दुःखं पौगंडम एव च अलब्धभीप्सितो ज्ञानाद् इदा मन्योषु चार्पितः इति एवं शाश्वसं भुक्त्वा दुःखं पौगंडम एव च अलब्धभीप्सितो ज्ञानाद् इदा मन्योषु चर्पितः इति एवम् इन दिस वे शायस्वम् चाइल्डहुड भुक्त्वा हैविंग अंडरगॉन दुःखम् डिस्ट्रेस पौगंडम बॉयहुड एव इवन च एंड अलब्ध Not achieved, abhipsitah, by whose desires, agyanat, due to ignorance, idha, kindled, manyo, his anger, shucha, by sorrow, arpitah, overcome. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. In this way, the child passes through his childhood, suffering different kinds of distress and attains boyhood. In boyhood also, he suffers pain over desires to get things he can never achieve. And thus, due to ignorance, he becomes angry and sorrow. You can repeat the translation. In this way, the child passes through his childhood, suffering different kinds of distress and attains boyhood. In boyhood also he suffers pain over desires to get things he can never achieve. And thus, due to ignorance, he becomes angry and sorry. Purport. From birth to the end of 5 years of age is called childhood. After 5 years up to the end of 15th year is called Pauganda. At 16 years of age, youth begins. The distresses of childhood are already explained. But when the child attains boyhood, he is enrolled in a school which he does not like. He wants to play, but he is forced to go to school and study and take responsibility for passing examination. Another kind of distress is that he wants to get something with which to play, but circumstances may be such that he is not able to attain them. And he thus becomes aggrieved and feels pain. In one word, he is unhappy, even in his boyhood, just as he was unhappy in his childhood. What to speak of youth? Boys are apt to create so many artificial demands for playing, and when they do not attain satisfaction, they become furious with anger, and the result is suffering. ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्दस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः శ్రీ చైతన్య మనోభిష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూప కదామయం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం వందేహం శ్రీగురు శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగురూన్ వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగరజాతం సహగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం స్థం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజన సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణపాదాన్ సహగణ లలిత శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ హే కృష్ణ కరుణాసింధు దీనబంధు జగత్పతి గోపిక్ష గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమస్తుతే తప్త కంచన గౌరంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియ మంచకల్పతురుభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధువేవ చ పతితనామ పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర్ శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ రామ హరే హరే నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణకృష్ణాయ భూతలే శ్రీమద్ భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినితి నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతీ దేవే గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశతారిణే The journey of the soul is continuing. Just to give a brief context where we are at, Lord Kapila is explaining in this chapter the movements. The name of the chapter is Movements of the Living Entities, where first he explained the intense situation of a baby within the womb. For outside people, it can be a very happy experience because they're waiting a child to come in their family, in their life. But for the child within, and for mother also to some degree, it's a very painful experience. And the whole description is there, which so many classes have already been happening, explaining how the child suffers in the womb. So it's amazing, this section of Srimad Bhagavatam actually goes far beyond what modern science, through all the equipments and machinery they have to understand what's happening within the womb. They may be able to experience through, I don't know what those machines are called, but where they can see how the growth of the child is going, but they cannot experience the mind of the child. But Srimad Bhagavatam, because it's coming from that source who created everything, is explaining what goes in the mind of the child also, along with the physical changes which is in the body and how he is suffering. So maybe I think a decade before or something, there was one doctor. He was a specialist he was an abortion specialist. In a very young career, in his very young career, he had done more than 10,000 abortions already. And then one time, while performing that abortion, he saw that such a young child is there, just few months old, and when the knife is entering the womb to kill, the child is crying, literally, from the facial expressions. Very lately he found, there is a documentary also on that, the silent scream, which no one can hear. But when this doctor came across his conception of child in the womb actually feels pain when abortion happens, he quit when he saw how the child was running away from the knife, and the womb is limited, and then he's trying to escape out, but there is a limit to the space, and he goes to the maximum back what he could or she could. I don't know what the child was, baby boy or girl, but the mouth is just moving non-stop with the agony on the face and just crying. And when he saw that, maybe he didn't notice it before, but it changed. He just quit that career. He just quit. So, but Bhagavatam is a 5,000-year-old scripture which is explaining such a detail in such a depth. So that's the greatness of Bhagavatam, along with that it's giving the benediction of explaining what pure devotion to the Supreme Lord is. So here Lord Kapila, who is explaining this whole section, he is not explaining to show just how great technology was then, that even great sages knew what the child is thinking. He's actually showing this graphic explanation he's giving in such a detail just to bring the hearer or the reader to the platform of pure devotional service. And there is no other agenda he has. Because when suffering hits, then inquiry begins. Why am I suffering? If everything goes very, very nice and jolly, very happy in our lives, then there is no question of inquiring. The only inquiry is, okay, how next I can enjoy better. But why I am suffering, which I don't want to, then that inquiry doesn't come. That only come, and that's why the nature is designed in a way which is kind arrangement of the Lord, that even though we don't wish for it, a suffering comes. And sometimes it's very intense. Krishna in Bhagavad Gita very, very clearly explains the nature of this place, where he says, this place is Dukhalyam Ashashvatam. We have heard it hundreds of times. But when he says it's Dukhalyam, Dukha means suffering, Alyam means place or house. So he says it's a place of suffering, and a counter argument from our minds can be generated, but I have experiences of enjoyment. If it is place of suffering, then why do I have experiences of happiness and enjoyment? Then immediately Krishna says it's Shashvatam, Ashashvatam. It's temporary. Even though we may experience some pleasures here, there, that's temporary. It just quickly comes and goes. So this is the nature of this place, and Lord Kapila is expanding and giving details of this nature for the purpose that we understand why we have to leave this place, why we have to get out of this place to attain our spiritual position, our spiritual bodies, our spiritual destination, so that this place of suffering, so this suffering can be avoided to the fullest extent. So now these verses which we are at now, 28 and verse before and following from there, here the external suffering when the child is out of the womb is explained. Even though Lord Kapila doesn't go very graphic the way he goes for the child in the womb, because outside we all have graphic experience directly anyways, how we all are suffering. So he is explaining now from how boyhood, childhood to boyhood to youth, we all have suffered, and we all have our own experiences, how and what we have all gone through. I used to hate school like anything. I still remember my first day at school. I was 3 years old or something. Teachers had to call my mother and send me back because I was just not stop crying. It was non-stop. I threw my lunch over the walls and just... And my mother should have understood, you know, I'm not... So, and so many kids are like that. Regular beatings were there just to go to school. What to speak of doing homework, what to get good marks in the examination. Anyways, that never happened. But after a few years, she lost hope for that. She said, okay, just go through. Just cross the ocean of this standard, that standard, year 10, year 12, which was an ocean for me. So, but so many kids are like that. They're going through that suffering, intense suffering. Of course, we see it as it's part of life for you to grow, for you to survive. This is required, and we do take it as the way it is, or the way everyone is doing. So you also follow the trend, but it's suffering. It's unavoidable. It's suffering. Prabhupada is so explaining so clearly that. But he wants to play, but he's forced to go to school and study and take responsibility of passing examinations. He's saying this is a distress. And it is a distress. It's heavy distress. You ask a child. You know, now they have fidget spinners. That's what they want to do whole day in the school. Of course, you know, it's a scam. People have tricked showing that it increases concentration or whatever. But, and I have not seen any child without it till now. Means once it's introduced, people from India are calling to get that fidget spinner. Kids wants to play. Kids wants to play, and then you ask them to do something serious. It's against. It is actually a toll on them. They have to sit down and then they study. In Bhajagovindam prayer, Shankaracharya, very nice verse, he said, Balya avastha krida sakta, taruna avastha taruni sakta, vriddha avastha chinta sakta, pare brahmane kopi na sakta. He said, the childhood is lost by attachment to playfulness. Youth is lost by attachment to women. Old age passes away by thinking over many things, but there is hardly anyone who wants to be lost in Param Brahma or who wants to be lost in knowing the absolute truth. So he is saying, Balyavastha Krida Sakta, the childhood is lost, it's gone, that whole period is gone, just playing, just enjoying. And then Prabhupada says in the purport, he says only in one line, but he says, what to speak of youth? After explaining the distress of the childhood, he says, what to speak of youth? It's the crazy teens, teenage, is intense for kids to handle. If they don't get proper guidance that time, and if they get guidance from their friends, who also are bewildered of the same age, it's very troublesome. For the child and then for the parents later, the results when they see. So when a child is going through all these phases, especially in terms of devotee kids, it's not that, you know, in Bhagavad Gita Krishna says that second chapter verse 62-63 where it says dhyayato vishyam pumsa sangasteso pajayate sangat sanjayate kama kama krodha vijayate. Where the meaning translation is, while contemplating the objects of the senses, a person develops attachment for them, and from such attachment, lust develops, and from lust, anger arises. This exact same principle is applied on a child also. And Krishna is saying in Bhagavad Gita, now if a child, the objects may be different. So we want a high-end career, we want promotion, so we may work hard or contemplate on that, and then when we don't get, we get angry or upset and then frustrated. But for the same principle for the child is for a toy. So the problem is still the same. And that's why in these verses, Prabhupada is not avoiding such issues. In at least in our families, when kids would throw some tantrums, then even kids of 8, 9, 10 years old, parents would say, oh, he's just a child, just leave him. Don't say anything. No one even thought, many people, they don't even think actually that they need to be educated. They need to be trained. And they need to be shown what is correct from a very young age. Most of the most crucial learning period is just wasted, even by elders, because they don't understand. By attitude that their kids just leave them. I remember very clearly, I was very young, maybe 5 or 6 years old, and then some family members had come home. So night time, I'm from joint families, everyone was together, all the elders were there, all the men were together, all the ladies were in the kitchen, and kids were all playing, running around. And then one of my uncles called me, and they were drinking some alcohol, some wine, all few of the men. And he called me, and I had no idea what is this. And he said, you want to sip? And he was not training me or something, you know, that you become a big time drunkard or something. Just he was showing maybe his affection after he was also out drinking few glasses. He said, oh, you want to sip? I had no idea what it was. I sipped the glass. And then 2-3 times it happened, and it was very bitter. It's very, very bitter. So I ran into the kitchen and I asked mother, give me sugar. She gave me sugar, and then it hit me. And my mother was telling that you were just laughing after that. And my mother didn't know why I'm acting like this. Then one of the other person told my mother, this is what has happened. But then my mother took very strong action. From that day on, till I was young, I only heard negatives about drinking alcohol from my mother. She was very heavy on it. She was very, very heavy. She was training me. No matter what happens, no matter what happens, never fall for it. From all angles, showing me this example, that example. She was very, very vigilant on that point. Once she knew that this can happen, it's a joint family, it's a joint arrangement. But now, by Krishna's mercy and devotees' mercy, most of them are devotees, family members, but still, those days was like that. So, very, very crucial for a good training given for the child. Actually, one nice quote is there. Prabhupada says, today I'll be reading few Prabhupada quotes on this. Prabhupada said, child's nature is to imitate because they have to learn. So nature has given them the propensity to imitate. So the first imitation begins from the parents. So if the parents is nice Krishna devotee, naturally the children become devotees. This is the opportunity of taking birth in a Vaishnava family. He's saying this in a lecture. So you are all Vaishnavas. Now he's speaking very heavy. He says, if your children do not become Vaishnavas in future, then it is a great fault of yours. So you should be very cautious, careful, that children are not going astray. They are becoming actually Krishna conscious. That means they have to imitate, and you have to be devotee. Then they will imitate you. By imitation, 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 they will come to Krishna consciousness. Then they will never give it up. It's a lecture in Los Angeles, 1972. But sometimes we do see some children, some kids, even after, in nice devotee families also, they don't take up the process. They don't become devotees, so they do everything nonsense. They're very rebellious. So that can be taken, as Prabhupada is saying in a different place, that can be taken as Krishna's lesson to teach parents tolerance or humility and to go beyond it. But the principle remains the same because a child is very impressionable. So the child learns a lot by whoever's close association the child has, very intimate association. And the most intimate association for a child is with the parents. So certain habits, certain expressions, what to speak of internally, boy or girl, they just try to imitate their mother and father, just to be like them, just to, sometimes kids would go and try to shave, because they've seen their father shaving, they're like 8-9 years old kids, and the same kids when they see something, the negative qualities, they try to imitate that also at home. So, there's a nice, very, very nice statement, actually very profound. It says, I don't know whose quote is that, but it's a nice quote. If you train a child in taking shelter of Krishna, then that will become nature of the child. So if a child is always observing at home, because when the child is at home, he's seeing problems also coming in the family. The child also sees some dispute within mother and father. The child also sees happy moments in the family. The child also sees how parents are dealing with different people. But if the child is observing and noticing that at every stage parents are actually taking shelter of the Lord, then that becomes the nature of the child also to take shelter of the Lord when such situation comes to the child. So it's amazing responsibility on parents. And we have seen in sometimes many home programs when we go and give classes, if parents are there with young kids, the easiest and the fastest way to convince them to become devotees is to make them explain or make them understand the importance of Krishna consciousness for their child. And when they see, oh, my child is in Australia, my child is in such a culture where I don't want my child to fall for certain bad habits, then they become serious and start Krishna consciousness because they want their child to be benefited. Very quickly they also pick up the process, because they understand that kids at home, they don't have big ears, but they have very big eyes. They observe very quickly things, and then they act on it. We all have our own experiences. It's less than a week before, it's a very intense news, very ghastly experience that happened in Mumbai, I think. And one of the kid, he was adult, not child actually. But the experience he was getting from his childhood led this to this result. That when the father was a policeman, he was dealing with a very popular murder case. That's why he was in news, because the murder case was in news. So now this policeman has one boy who was an engineering student and his wife. So these three members are there. Now this boy, one day around 8 or 9 p.m. at the night, comes home and finds the opportunity and literally, it's very ghastly, kills the mother. Slits her throat, and then with her own blood writes a letter. He writes, "Tired of her catching and hanging me all the time." And then father told, yes, the mother was a little strong for him to get good marks no matter what happens. And she, because the parents were busy, she was also very well qualified, some top student, and this child was not interested in learning or whatever. So now she would really be very hard on the child. So appears the child lost his mental state completely due to the whole experience he was getting from very young age. Pushed, beaten, pushed. He was beaten like anything by the mother. No. So just to succeed. And when he was adult, father says that I was scared that he may not take some strong actions. Maybe he ran away just few days before. He ran away from the house. And then he, on lot of request, he came back. And father was worried. Father would fulfill all his desires. Policemen, you know, in India, policemen, they can fulfill any desire of their child. They're super corrupt. They have lots of money. So he would fulfill all his desires so that he's happy. You know, he doesn't take any strong actions. But mother was very... So father said, he has no experience that she gave a lot of affection to the child. But she only had correction. Appear, get good result, marks. You should be the top student. He became so frustrated. He killed her, and then he made a smiley also after with her blood. That much angry he was, or frustrated he was. So, of course, this intense experience is just an example. But it gives a very strong message that how important it is to... if mother would have understood the nature of the child and then dealt with the child in that way, that would have resulted in much better for the child also and for the relationship also. So many times parents, they don't understand the nature of the child, how the child actually, how his psychophysical nature is. Actually, how this child will progress, or how the child will become a happy person, a successful person, materially also. And when that is not understood, and certain goals are just thrown on the child, it can result in maybe not very good relationship with parents, or the child doesn't open up to the parents, or the child doesn't share the heart. And when that happens, then naturally, as a human being, we have to share our emotions with someone else. Then a child goes and he can go and associate with someone who can give him very wrong association, very bad association. And when the child does something wrong, then parents are wondering, why he's acting like this? We never did that. We never showed that experience or that example to him. So very important for this to take place properly at home, because it's speaking of... unhappiness of a child. That's why I'm discussing certain points where this unhappiness can be transferred to a happy experience of Krishna consciousness. You know, sometimes you'll see kids are forced to memorize shlokas. Then they will have a very strong impression in their mind that it's like school. Coming to temple is like school. You go there, you are forced to do things, then you are beaten also for that. So if they have a happy experience, like morning program, so many kids they come. They are jumping up and down, playing, running here, there. It's a happy experience. So that happy experience when kids get, they want to go back to that place again. Sometimes we do try to do, at least me and Dvijapitam, once a month, some classes with the kids. And before the beginning of the classes, I asked all the parents to come together, and I told them, don't expect that he'll come back and tell you some shlokas. I'm not going to do that. We'll just play with the kids so that they develop friendship with us. And then when they have friendship now, when they come for morning program, they can relate. They can jump up and down. They can do Guru Puja. They can dance around. And then later, it'll be easy for them to open up to us as a friend and share what their issues are, their problems are. Because if we don't make ourselves available for them to share their hearts, then someone else is anyways waiting, which is their friends. So a bewildered mind will again question another bewildered mind completely, who is also in the same crazy teens. And then the answers or the solution which the other teenager is going to give is going to make him further bewildered, further confused. And we've all gone through our own teenage, and we know how association really drives you crazy. You're just intensified. Your teen years are it's so intense that you go to any extent to seek pleasure, to seek attention. This is one problem many kids they face in their school or universities, that they want to feel wanted. We all have that inclination. We want to feel that we are wanted in a certain group or a certain friend circle in school or at uni. And to make that happen, to make ourselves qualified to be wanted, kids do anything. Kids do anything. So if kids back home have very good relationship, very good friendship, and have very good experience of a higher taste, which is with devotees in temple or around the whole process of Krishna consciousness, then even if they fall for that bad association, we become their nets, that they fall on us. When they really need someone, they fall on us and take help. But if we are not there, and if that relationship is not established with those kids, with all the kids, then naturally the question is answered by someone else, which is a problem. So, a superior taste and a good example of Krishna consciousness can bring a child back, even if they go astray. Prabhupada in the previous quote was saying that's the responsibility, that becomes a challenge, and that's a hard work for the parents. I'll read a couple of quotes from Prabhupada, they're very interesting. He says, the basic idea of raising children as they are described in the Vedic literature is that from birth till the age of 5 years, the parents may be very lenient with the child. From the ages 6 to 10, they should tighten the discipline of their child. And from ages of 10 till 16 years, the parents should be as strict as a tiger with their child, so that he will be afraid to be disobedient at all. Then after the 16th year, the parents shall treat their children as a friend, and the child is allowed to gradually develop his adult responsibility and independence. Prabhupada is talking about the independence, but in many cases that doesn't happen. Even after certain years, 20, 25, parents, you have to do this only, because this is our desire. Prabhupada is encouraging, you train nicely and then let them practice their own independence. This is a letter to Vibhavati. Another one is, please also take care of children. They are our future hopes. And the adolescent age is the most dangerous age. It is a turning point of one's life. In this age, if you take care of the children, surely they will come out first-class Krishna conscious devotees. And the last one, this also is very amazing actually, it's to Arunadhati Mataji. In due respect to your letter dated 19th July 1972, for you, child worship is more important than deity worship. If you cannot spend time with him, then stop the duties of pujari. At least you must take good care of your son until he is 4 years old. These children are given to us by Krishna. They are Vaishnavas and we must be very careful to protect them. These are not ordinary children. They are Vaikuntha children. And we are very fortunate we can give them chance to advance further in Krishna consciousness. This is very great responsibility. Do not neglect it or be confused. Your duty is very clear. Letter to Arunadati, Amsterdam, 30th July 1972. Prabhupada is showing his very clear intent in these courts. And he's giving a good standard for all of us back in temple, as temple devotees while dealing with kids, and as parents also while dealing with kids. I'll just stop here. If any question, comments or some corrections are there. Hare Krishna. Krantrashmad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.